In Proverbs chapter 11, I want to begin reading from verse 23 through verse 29. We'll finish up the chapter next week, and the verse is speaking of the fruit of righteousness and winning souls. I'm going to title the message this evening, The Liberal Soul. I want to be a liberal soul, don't you? We're not talking about politics now, we're talking about Bible. Want to be a liberal. Amen. Notice as we begin reading in verse 23. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Notice in verse 28 and 29, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. Father, we do thank Thee this evening for this time together again. Lord, we pray Your blessings to be upon the reading of Thy Holy Scripture. And Father, as we come to this section of Proverbs, we pray for Thy guidance and Thy help. Pray, Lord, that You would speak to us, and we pray, Lord, Thy will to be done. For it's in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Last week we were in verses 18 through 22, titled that, The Reward of the Righteous. And this evening, I'm taking the title from our text here. Not every verse is dealing exactly with the same thing, but I'm taking our title from verse 25, where he says, The liberal soul shall be made fat. But notice, as we come here to verse 23, in verse 23. Now, as we come to this subject, some of these verses do deal with the subject of economics or finances. I will briefly give a few verses on each one of these. We've already have several sermons in this chapter associated with finances or in this book. In chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, we preach the message honoring God with our substance. In chapter 10 and verse 2, we preach the message titled The Treasures of the Wicked. And then in verse 3 through 5 of that chapter, The Treasures of the Righteous. Chapter 10, verse 22 through 25, Blessings Without Sorrow. Then in chapter 11, verse 4 through 9, Riches Profit Not in the Day of Wrath. So we're coming to this subject quite often, and I hope that we'll be able to bring a balance to it. We do know that God doesn't make everyone rich, neither does He make everyone poor. And there's a balance that we do find in the Scripture. He just gives warning to both, whether they be poor or rich. Now, first of all, we find in verse 23, He said, The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Now, there's a number of passages we could consider with this, but we see here desires and expectations. As we've seen already in Proverbs, there's a contrast between a good man or a good woman here, between a good man's desires, I should say, and what the evil man deserves. So there's a contrast between a good man's desires or the evil man, what he deserves. And I think two great examples of this is Daniel and Belshazzar in the book of Daniel. And Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, and you can find similar statements throughout the book of Daniel. We find that Daniel was purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And he did not want to participate with that which was offered for idols or maybe it also had to do with the unclean meats that the Bible speaks of. But either way, there's a great contrast between Daniel and really the other three Hebrew children that are mentioned in that chapter, and between Belshazzar. When we read in Daniel 5, if you'll just make note of this, verse 17 through the end of the chapter, you'll find that you remember the handwriting on the wall. One of the reasons for the handwriting on the wall was the wickedness of Belshazzar. He was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel comes to him and says, "You've done the same thing that Nebuchadnezzar did. You have not humbled yourself. You've lifted yourself up in pride and so forth." In other words, you've rebelled against the scripture. He's the one that took the things out of the temple. They drank wine out of the cups that came out of the temple. They had a drunken party. And he had ordered that. And so his demise came about that very night. He's totally the opposite of someone like Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. So we have here desires and expectations, a contrast between a good man's desires or a good woman's desires and what the evil man, the evil woman deserves. And so Daniel was blessed by God. He never did leave captivity, but he was blessed in captivity by God. And Belshazzar met his death the very night of the handwriting on the wall. God wrote upon the wall the judgment that would come upon him, and it happened that very night. Now, there's many other passages. If you're taking notes, chapter 10, and in verse 4 says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." We also find in Psalms 37, in the book of Psalms in chapter 37, I'm going to read just a few verses from this chapter. And he says here, beginning in verse 4, and I'm just going to pick out a few verses. But he said in verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." He talked about commitment in verse 5, resting and waiting on the Lord and fretting not in verse 7, ceasing from anger and fret not in verse 8. But in verse 9, he said, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." We see this pretty much throughout this chapter. Also in Psalms 38, verses 9 and 10, speaking of the brevity and vanity of life, again, we believe that this is a psalm of David. And David was chastened of the Lord for his sin, but David was still, in general, a man after God's own heart. And I just want to read two verses, and that's going to be verse 9 and 10. And he says here, "Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groanings is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for me, the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me." In other words, he's before God confessing sins. God had chastened him over a particular sin with Bathsheba and also with the taking of the life of her husband. And so, but David was a man after God's own heart. If you're taking notes, I may have already given you this, but Psalms 10, verse 17. Again, we see there that a righteous man's desire is a work of God in his heart. So, when we read this text here in chapter 11, in verse 23, the desire of a righteous man is only good. That desire that God puts with us is a work of God. I'll give you an example of that. You don't have to turn to these. But in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20, it says, "Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Now listen to this. "According to the power that worketh in us." In other words, it's by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. In John 21 and verse 17, when the Lord asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" he finally said, "Lord, you know my heart. You know that I love you." In other words, God had done a work in Peter's heart. Also in Romans chapter 8, we find that verse 26 and 27, even when a Christian prays, we have help from God. And he said that likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, that is our weaknesses. And he goes on to say, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." In other words, cannot be put in words. And he says, "And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So we see the righteous man's desire. And there's that contrast here between the righteous and the wicked. We also see in verse 23 says, "But the expectation of the wicked is wrath." Romans chapter 2 and verse 8, if you're taking notes. Wrath will come. They can expect it. It will come upon the wicked, and they'll get exactly what they deserve. Now notice as we come to verse 24. In verse 24, he says here in this passage, he said, "There is that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet," that is more than is right or proper, "but it tendeth to poverty." Now, first of all, he said, those who scatter, there is that scattereth and yet increases. This is the principle of sowing and reaping. And it is a biblical principle, and it is a universal truth to disperse and receive. I mean, that's what we find all through the Scripture. And even though this gets abused in the charismatic circles and many of the television preachers, it's still a reality. And this doesn't mean that God's going to make everyone rich, or that he's going to make everyone poor. But some of the verses that you might want to write down beside this, the scattering and receiving. "There is that scattereth and yet increases." In other words, the more they give, the more that God gives back to them. That is a principle that we find in the Scripture. And let's just turn. Notice with me in Psalms 112. In Psalms 112, and I'll give you a couple of others. In Psalms 112, I want to read from verse 5. And if you're taking notes, Galatians chapter 6, I know that you're familiar with that. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8. Well, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. This very plain, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption," shall of the flesh, I should say, reap corruption. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The principle's there. The principle is also laid down in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. And actually, if you read on through the rest of the chapter, this is illustrated. And but he says in verses 6 through 9, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." He continues on in the chapter to illustrate that. Notice in Psalms now, in the book of Psalms, see, even a farmer knows to scatter little ensures a little or poor crop or harvest. And so he says here in the book of Psalms 112, I'm reading from verses 5 through 9. He says, "A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies." Now, verse 9, "He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor." In other words, as we give of ourselves and our lives and our talents and even our finances, we see here that the Lord honors that. Now, going back with me to Proverbs, we find also those who withhold. Notice in verse 24, "There is that scattereth and yet increases." Have you not seen that? So as we give, the Lord gives back. As I've heard said, you cannot outgive God. That's so true, isn't it? He says, "There is that scattereth and yet increases. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty." Now we're going to see that word withholdeth again in verse 26, someone withholding corn or withholding food. But in verse 24, when he says in the middle of that verse, "And there is that withholdeth more than is meet," in other words, holding what he should give, he said, "but it tendeth to poverty." And a couple of good passages on this, I'm not going to turn and read them, but Haggai chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. I'm going to give you another passage in that. There's only, two chapters. Haggai 2, verses 15 through 19. When the children of Israel had left the captivity of the Babylonians and had went back to their land after 70 years, they were to rebuild the city, the walls, and rebuild the temple. When they got back, there was a slow go in getting the people to rebuild the temple. And so the Lord speaks of they didn't have his full blessings as they were building their own houses and was not concerned about the house of God. So he spoke to them about that. Haggai gave them, four messages that God sent through him. In other words, they were not putting God first. He said, "I want you to build this city, build the walls, build the temple." The temple was absolutely necessary for worship and sacrifice. So they got it right, but he had to speak to them. They were not putting him first. So that would be in Haggai chapter 1. In chapter 2. One of the reasons, I'll put it this way. In chapter 2, he mentions that it would be that temple, that second temple, not Solomon's temple, but the temple they built, it'd be that temple. Now, that temple was added to in New Testament times, but it'd be that temple that the glory of the Lord, in other words, the Son of God, would enter in. And we read about that in Haggai and also in the New Testament. So that temple was very important to God for his people. Also, another passage is Malachi. In the book of Malachi, make sure I give you the right verses, Malachi chapter 3, dealing with a similar thing. Malachi chapter 3 from verse 7, through verse 12. The Lord says here in this passage, he says, "Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Then verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And of course the Lord says, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. God's saying, test me and see if I won't do the right thing for you. So he says, prove me now herein, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, here's the blessings now, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now this could include physical blessings and material things as well as spiritual things. But he goes on to talk about the land producing for them and the fields yielding their fruit and so forth. He goes to mention that. So what we're seeing here in our passage in verse 24, he said, there is that scattereth and yet increases, and then there is that withholdeth more than is meet. In other words, they're withholding more than what they should be giving. And he says, but it tendeth to poverty. Now come with me to verse 25. In other words, there are those who do not put God first, and there are those who do put God first. And that's the point of that passage. Now we come to the liberal soul, which he says in verse 25, he said, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. And this is quite self-explanatory. And I'm not going to have you to turn to a multitude of passages. Again, we've already preached 5 messages along this line in this book. We'll be seeing this over and over, and so we'll kind of come at it at a little bit different angle and try to keep a good balance with it. But the liberal soul, 2 Corinthians 9:13, the Apostle Paul spoke of, he said, your liberal distribution. In other words, as he was taking up funds to carried to Jerusalem, he called it a liberal distribution. The liberal soul, the one who gives freely and fully to God and to others. That's what he's saying. And there's more to give than just our money. There's time and talents and the many other ways that we can give. So to be liberal in our finances and our giving is what we see here in this passage. The word liberal is not a bad word. It gets thrown around today in politics. It's a good word in the scripture. It means to be generous, a large donor, of a free heart, benevolent, not to be selfish. The Apostle Paul said this in the book of Acts in chapter 20, speaking of the Lord Jesus. He said in verse 35, as he was departing from the elders at Ephesus, met them at Miletus, and he says, and I have showed you all things, how so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, the Lord Jesus taught that, and that's what we see here. Also, I give you just a few other verses. In the book of Philippians in chapter 4, there's an interesting statement here in verse 19 that the Apostle Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But I believe that I must look at the context of that. And in the context of this passage, we find that in I'm coming back to verse 15. Listen to what he says about this church. Well, let me read in verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. In other words, they had given. And he said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So that church, and because of the way they lived their lives and gave and prayed and so forth, he says that God will supply all your need. Not everyone can just reach in there and grab this passage out and claim it. It's those who are walking with the Lord and being pleasing. So coming back now to verse 25, he said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Let me give you just a couple other verses to go with this. Luke 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. And I'm just going to read the one verse. I'm not going to read the whole context, but it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Same principle that we've been reading in our text. In other words, we will never outgive God. And as we give, He will see to it that all of our needs are supplied, as in 2 Corinthians 9 we just read a moment ago. Amen. Now, one other passage is 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 10 through 16. God told Elijah to go to a widow woman and have her to make him some food. Her barrel was empty. She had enough meal. She said, me and my son, we're going to eat and die. And you know the story. The Lord had sent him there. The Lord sent him there also, I believe, to be a help to the widow. And that barrel never run out of meal. She said, I got a little meal and a little oil. And so again, we see the blessings of the Lord. Now, notice now verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. You can write down chapter 28 verse 25 with the word fat. Chapter 13 and verse 4. And also Isaiah 32, 8. I think it even used the word liberal there in that passage. And basically, he's talking about prosperity or prosperous. In other words, the liberal soul, the soul that gives freely, shall be made fat. In other words, shall prosper. God will supply all of their needs. Now, notice in verse 26. Well, let me back up just for a moment. He also says, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Same principle. Same principle. You can write down Matthew 25, verse 29. He who blesses others shall be blessed himself, or she who blesses others shall be blessed herself. Matthew 5, verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Think about that. As we give, God gives back. But also as we show mercy, God will show mercy to us. And you see how important that this is with the Lord. Now come with me to verse 26. Notice in verse 26. It says here, he that withholdeth corn. We have that word withholdeth again. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Now I'm going to tell you what I believe this is, and that I've taught for a number of years, and I went and even checked a few commentaries this week to see if I was on target with this. And I'm going to actually give you a quote or two. But notice, and when we look at this, we could think in the personal realm, but let's think also in as a businessman. Let's think in that realm as well. He says, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. In other words, this is someone who has been blessed and has goods in difficult and dire times. And he will hold back goods when others needed them in order to secure a higher price. What he does, he brings a curse upon him. In other words, it is a crime, basically. If you want a passage that kind of explains this even more, Amos 8, verses 4 through 11. Amos is pretty serious about this. And he talks about doing the poor wrong and the curse that will come upon them. Nabal, in the Old Testament, withheld bread and food from David's hungry men in 1 Samuel chapter 25. A curse came upon him. Abigail, God sent her to stop David from going to take his life. And God took care of that. One writer put it as a spirit of self-monopoly. Raising prices will bring suffering to the poor, but it will also bring a curse on those who raise price. Now, I'm going to give you a quote here. And it says, in the 19th century, England was brought to the verge of revolution by the infamous Corn Laws, which were designed to keep the price of bread high and cut out foreign competition. Fortunately, England had enough sense to repeal the offensive Corn Laws. So, it's somebody that would hold, I will use a businessman, this could include anybody, but a businessman that would hold something back from somebody that needed it until where he could get a higher price for it. Have we not seen this in our country and in the world? I want to get the highest price that I can out of this when somebody is starving to death. One writer says, don't profit by war or scarcity. It is a crime voting for war and then making money from it. In other words, it is a crime. And there's many that do this, voting for war. There's people actually making money off of the war that is taking place right now in Europe. Now notice he says, let's look at the other side of this in verse 26, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. In other words, when he can be a blessing and he's not concerned about the poor, he's concerned about the prices and getting the highest price he can for the corn. Then he goes on, the contrast of this, as we always see in the Bible, and especially Proverbs, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. You know, a good example of this is Job. Turn with me to Job chapter 28. Job 29, I should say. Notice here, Job chapter 29. There are many other examples of this, but we'll turn to this one. Job chapter 29. I'm going to read just a few verses from verse 12 through 13, then verse 15 through 17. We talk about, many do, and we talk about the Proverbs 31 woman. Well, Job 29, this is the man's chapter. And it's the Job 29 man that we find in the Bible. And he talks about his integrity before all of these things came upon him. But notice he said in verse 12, he said, because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that had none to help him, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Come down with me to verse 17. Well, verse 15. I was eyes to the blind and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor. Notice he'd been showing mercy. And the cause which I knew not, I searched out. I broke the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. In other words, he took action against those who wronged others. Now come back with me to Proverbs. In Proverbs, notice with me now in verse 28. Well, verse 27, he said, "He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come upon him." Mischief, he who brings harm or hurt, injury or evil to someone else, they will be destroyed. They may get by with it or think they get by with it for a while, but they will be destroyed. Write down Esther 7 and verse 10. Haman was hanged with his own rope. In 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 10 through 12, the wicked never ultimately get by with anything. Now verse 28, I could have broke this down into two different sermons, I can see now. Notice in verse 28, he said, "And he that trusteth in riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul told Timothy, charge them that are rich. They are rich people, and there can be rich Christians, but well-off Christians, but he says charge them. They're not to trust in uncertain riches. And Luke chapter 12, verse 15 through 20, tells us to be rich spiritually, first of all. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 through 24, gives warning to the rich. Mark chapter 10, verse 24 through 25, the rich young ruler. We find that in that passage that it is difficult for a rich man to get into heaven. Why? It's not that he can't, because he has a tendency to trust in his or her riches. And he uses the analogy there of a camel going through the eye of a needle. We know how impossible that is, but God says all things are possible with him. Even if a rich man will repent and bow himself before the Lord, God said that he will save him. But notice what it says here. He says, verse 20, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall." The ultimate deception of riches is a false sense of security. "And he shall fall." But notice the other side of this. He said, "But the righteous shall flourish as a branch." In other words, the Lord blesses. The Lord's blessings, I should say, never cease to yield fruit in the individual that is trusting in him. Notice, like he or her had been planted in a well-watered place. And Jeremiah, if you're taking notes, Psalms 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, and also in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of the drought." In other words, doesn't worry about the drought. "Neither shall cease from yielding fruit." So that's the contrast here of one trusting in their riches. They'll eventually fall. And the one, the righteous, that is trusting in the Lord, they will always be nourished and blessed, and will not have to worry about losing anything. Now notice as we come to our last verse in verse 29, and again we're going to pick up verse 30 and 31 next week, and then the following week step into chapter 12. But notice in verse 29, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart." If I keep this in the context, if I keep it in the context of what we've been looking at, "He that troubleth his own house would be one by greedy of gain and heaping up riches and neglecting the spiritual life of his family." I think that would probably be the best interpretation. I've looked at some help with this one also to make sure that I'm on track with it. But the bottom line is, he shall inherit the wind. In other words, he will be the loser in the end. and the fool shall serve the wise. Some of those that lost out because of greed and covetousness and wickedness was Achan. You remember him? Also, Eli in the spiritual arena of not leading his sons and rebuking his sons when they rebelled against God. Ahab, again, back in the political side of things, was very wealthy, very wicked, and he inherited the wind. Say, how much did he leave? He left everything. He left it all. He left everything here, and he ended up in hell. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank you tonight for thy word, the privilege to be able to open it up. We ask your blessings upon the remaining of this service, the prayer requests that will be lifted up, the prayer time here. We pray now, Lord, your blessings upon that and the hymn that we'll be singing. Lord, we just pray again and thank you for your presence and your love and mercy to us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.